Good morning. Whoa. I'm always told to speak loudly, and then I speak loudly and the place explodes. A word of encouragement came from prophet to people. Live a life that is full. Build, plant, eat, love. Pray for your communities. Keep God in the center of all that is. We enter worship today with hope in our hearts, for something happens here that reminds us that we can live as God desires. God has made us a promise of faithfulness to us, and we can trust that promise. Now please pull out your blue hymnals, and we will be singing Holy, Holy, Holy. And I will not be leading you, so you're going to have to sing loud and proud. Good morning. I didn't hear anybody. Is anybody there? Thank you. So good morning and welcome. I hope everyone had a joyous Canada Day yesterday. The weather turned out nice, wasn't too hot, so everybody could get out and enjoy. There was fireworks here, there, and everywhere, including out my bedroom window. A little hard for me to get to get to sleep when the neighbors are having a little bit of a party. However, joyous to live in a country as Canada, where we can choose to worship in this way or in any other way that we want to worship our Lord. And, I believe we are truly blessed in living in a country such as Canada. Turning into your bulletin for a couple of quick announcements. Back page, it is summertime. And the Finance Committee is looking for you to maintain your level of donation, because the business of the church continues throughout the summer as well, as you know. Number three, we're looking for someone to cover Anna Sawatsky's custodial duties. We are actually going to give her some vacation. That is a good thing. We all need our vacation time. Number two, choir will be rehearsing on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. for the upcoming worship service, which leads me to number one. So next Sunday on the 9th, Marvin Thiessen will be here speaking as a candidate for the lead pastor position. In your inserts, if you don't have an insert, I believe there's some in either the front or the back, tell you exactly how that process is going to work. We do need quorums, so please tell all members that are not here today that we need them to be here so that we can have a meaningful discussion. And then, of course, if there is quorum, we will be voting on Marvin's candidacy. From a community life standpoint, we're going to get to sharing in a little while. From a community life standpoint, are there any business type announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, I'll welcome Rudy up to do, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy.
Now, if the children who are here could come up. Wasn't sure there was going to be any. Come on up. One, two, three. Hi, Jacob. Can you say hi? That was close. All right. So in a minute, Pastor Francis is going to be giving us a sermon. He's going to be talking about encouragement. Now, encouragement, if you think about what that is, it's helping people to do the same thing over and over again. So if you're being encouraged to do something, you're probably going to do it again. So when you're a little baby, there's a few things that parents really want to see, and maybe it's the first time you turn over in your crib all by yourself. Maybe it's the first time you sat up and were able to sit by yourself, or crawling, or walking. And what our parents have always done is they are really happy, they clap, they smile, and those are all words of encouragement that our parents give us as we're doing the right things and growing up. Another thing, when I'm playing guitar, now I'm not the best guitar player in the world, but what I get encouragement from is when I'm singing with you guys downstairs and you're singing and you're moving with the music and you're remembering the words. Yeah, that's encouraging to me. So that makes me want to keep coming back and keep doing it, right? Well, we won't sing Darth Vader's song in church. I don't even know Darth Vader's song. Anyway... I'm also encouraged when I play up here in our worship service, and somebody comes up to me afterwards and says, "You know what? Those songs that you sang today, or that you chose to sing today, those were really encouraging to me. They made me feel good." So that makes me feel good, and then it makes me want to come back and do that again. So encouragement is wanting to keep doing things, right? So in that book right behind you there, what do you think that book on the bench is? It's a Bible. Yeah. So there's lots and lots of words in that book that talk about encouraging us to do the right thing and making us want to keep doing those right things. So that's a really, really important book. So I hope you have a couple of those at home, and I hope you're reading those all the time so that you can be encouraged to do the right things. Anyway, let's say a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word that you have given us. We thank you for the people around us that encourage us to do the right things and to follow your ways. Amen.
Ouch. And now we will enter a time of sharing. Is there anyone here in the congregation that has anything to share of a personal nature or would like to look for prayer support on? I'm going to... Oma, I don't know, hope you don't mind, but number one, I have the best mother-in-law in the world. But she's also going to become a great-grandmother. So I don't think I've said so in church here before, but I am going to be a grandfather. Bryce is going to be a father. He's up in Yellowknife, so I won't be able to see him all that often. But in about 2 months, I will have a granddaughter. We already know so. Very, very happy and excited for that occasion. You can see the names of the folks that are in the in our bulletin. People in personal care home, people in hospital. Peter Thiessen is still there. Also, please remember those who are at home but dealing with various illnesses that need your prayer support. Last call. Anybody else? If not, would you bow your heads for a word of prayer, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day when we are able to worship in a manner of our own choosing. We thank you for being blessed to be in a country that welcomed our families and let them prosper. We pray that your Spirit will help guide our leaders as they make decisions on our country's future. May you be with Marvin Thiessen and our congregation as we decide on our paths. May you be with those who need your healing hand in mind, body, or spirit. We seek you, God, in the spaces of our lives, the spaces between what we've done and what we've left undone, the spaces between our convictions and our actions, the spaces between all that we hoped to do and what we've actually done. We come with humility, knowing that we can't always see the way we've disappointed you, nor can we see the long-term effects of the good that we have done. This is a prayer for the road ahead, which is an empty space stretching before us. Fill us with burning compassion for our brothers and sisters, a love that will not let us go. Give us courage to give boldly, love simply, hope deeply, risk greatly. Our light is small and our time is short, but let it shine for you, Lord, always and forever. Amen. We will now take the offering. Thank you, Rudy, for serving with us this morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of the little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will not lose their reward.
First of all, thank you for some of you that joined me further up front. We had an old joke way back when it said the churches need to have some innovation, and one of those innovations is that the pastor has a button that moves the benches up front. Whereupon somebody in the congregation says, yes, and the congregation has a button that makes the pastor disappear. So, thank you for being here on the long weekend. You could have been somewhere out there worshiping in nature and giving thanks that way. And it's good to see you here, even though it's good to be there too. Just a preliminary remark. I'm going to talk about today a little bit about critical or criticizing. The basis for that word, crises, or in Greek, krisis, is actually misappropriated in the English language. Medicine still uses the original meaning. When a medical person speaks about a patient being critical, they don't mean that that person is criticizing the nurses and doctors. That person is actually in a crossroads situation, life or death. Okay? Critical means you can perhaps live or perhaps die. Crossroads. And that is really the meaning of the Greek term krisis. And that term is used in the New Testament sometimes as making decisions. So, Christians need to be critical people. They have to decide, to make decisions which way to go, which way to act, which way to behave, what to say, and what to keep quiet. That's one preliminary remark. The other one is, all of us like to be liked. Now, I'm speaking for myself, of course, but I assume you feel the same way. Oh, we pay lip service to constructive criticism. We actually learn something from it, too, and grow through it. But it's painful. It's painful. You may not want to admit it, but it is. And so we actually look for affirmation. I don't often go onto Facebook, but once in a while I do, and I have a lot of nieces and nephews on there. So I check up what they're doing or what's happening in their lives. One of my nieces just had a baby this week. So, yes, you get the news that way quickly. And you know what I find? The response is that every time a picture, a photo gets posted there, you get all these responses that say, oh, how beautiful, oh, how great. And it's actually what they're looking for, isn't it? Especially if they put a picture of themselves in there. They want to hear that they are pretty-looking women, or handsome men, or successful people. You know, we put the highlights in to get some feedback. Now, when I grew up, I was actually a very small child in my first 10 years of my life. And then by age 12, I grew 18 centimeters in one spurt of 8 months. To an extent that the doctor got worried if my heart and joints and everything would keep up. And the only thing I remember is that from a compact, balanced, well-balanced young boy, I grew up into somebody who fell over his own feet all the time, knocked things over because the arms were suddenly far too long, the legs were too long, the feet were too big. Everything was out of kilter. And I became very sensitive when people remarked on it, even good-naturedly. And then I began to look around, and later as a teacher, I saw in a schoolyard the same thing happening over and over again. People look to be included. People want to be affirmed. People yearn to be encouraged. Why don't we often do that? Now, we are coming from a series of days in our church here that are all very encouraging. We had Pentecost, we had Mother's Day, we had Father's Day. And all of those things serve, even the coming of the Holy Spirit, to be an encouragement to the people who believe in God. Now, I remember an old story, and some of you might know this one. I remember it because I was just a kid in grade school. I don't remember which grade, but I loved reading, and I devoured all the stories and books that I could find. And one of the stories was about critical people, or being criticized and how we react to it. That's not what it was called, but that's what it was about. And the story goes something like this. This old man is on a road from one city to the other. And the grandson was with him, and they had a donkey. And the grandson was riding on the donkey, and the old man was walking ahead. And then the people whom they met on the road would say, "Look at that. That young boy who is in the prime of his life, he is sitting there riding the donkey, and the old man has to walk." So they decide to change places. So grandfather rides the donkey, and the boy walks behind. And then people on the road would say, "Look at that. That old man, strong as he is, taking it easy on the donkey, while his little boy has to walk behind." So grandfather and son decide, well, they both ride the donkey. So the grandson joins them on the donkey and says they ride together. And then the people on the road say, "Look at that. Look at these terrible people. The poor donkey has to carry both of them." And the story goes on and ends with this picture. The grandson walks, and grandpa carries the donkey on his back. People being critical of how we behave and what we do makes us act sometimes in an irrational way. And why do we do that? Because we want to be liked. We want to fit in. We want to belong. And one of the things the church does, it provides a place to belong. You may be a misfit in society, but you fit in right here. Because we are all sinners, depending on the grace of God. And we hear the affirmation of God, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter. And we need to hear that, and we need that place. And since I've come here, I've really experienced that to a great extent in this congregation, that you have really offered a welcoming spirit, an embracing spirit. The people, whether you're pretty or not, young or old, educated or not, everybody has a place. The little baby and the old woman and the old man too. And you have embraced each other. And that is encouragement in the Spirit. Now, somebody once wrote these words, that no matter what you do, somebody can always criticize it. And then he wrote, name is Oswald Chambers, Christian writer, fairly well known to some people. And this is what he wrote. Someone who is constantly criticized becomes good for nothing. The effect of criticism knocks all the gumption and power out of the person. Criticism is deadly in its effect because it divides one's powers and prevents one from being a force for anything. That is never the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone is in the true position of a critic. He is able to show what is wrong without wounding or hurting. The counsel of Jesus is to abstain from judging. This sounds strange at first, because the characteristics of the Holy Spirit in a Christian is to reveal the things that are wrong. But the strangeness exists only on the surface. The Holy Spirit does not reveal what is wrong in others. It does reveal what is wrong in others, but his discernment is never for the purposes of criticism, but for the purposes of intercession. I can only highlight those words. And that is, I believe, truly an expression of what the Holy Spirit does. It leads us not to criticize what the other one does or doesn't do, does or cannot do, but it is there for the purposes of intercession. And you know what? People have told me that prayer changes a person. For a long time, I believed that that meant that the one who prays is being changed. That the circumstances are changed for which we pray, about which we pray. We ask God to change this and help there and let this grow and that diminish. And I always thought, well, the prayer then will be for the others. But what I discovered is prayer really changes the person who prays, not the other one. Prayer changes how we see people. Now, try this. If you know somebody who is a real pain in the neck in your life, that is your prayer subject. You will do everything and anything you can to make this person that is a pain in your neck a happy, good person. And you know what? I don't know about the other person, but you will be changed, I promise you. You will be changed in how you see that person. Suddenly, you're not angry when you see him. You're not trying to cross the street when he comes. Try to avoid their phone calls, you know, deny your home. No, suddenly you will have the interest of that person in your heart and in your mind. And that might change the other person. But if it does or not, it's not the important thing. The important thing is you have changed. You have changed. Prayer does change people. People live by affirmation even more than they live by bread, so wrote Victor Hugo. And I think it is true. If we believe that we fall short and do not meet the expectations, then that is what will happen. We will not meet the expectation. You call it self-fulfilling prophecy, right? If we support and encourage others, see them in the best way, they usually will rise to the challenge. Try that. Jesus, in today's gospel, is encouraging the disciples to go out. Certainly, he knows that they will encounter problems. They will encounter opposition, even persecution. And many of them will suffer and die because they are disciples of Jesus. Even in the early days, up to our days. But he is encouraging his followers to find those who will support them, uplift them, encourage them as they go about their ministry. The better translation of welcome, I know that's the word that's being used in the English, but the better translation, I think, is receive, not welcome. Welcome can be very superficial, right? But to receive somebody, it goes deeper. It's more than friendliness. To be received means taking the disciple in, heeding his words, accepting the teaching, praying for the apostle. Whoever receives you, Jesus says, receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me, God. Here in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is clearly saying that he was sent from God the Father into the world and that he reveals the will of God. If you want to know who God is, and we all do, right? If you want to know anything about God, his word and his will, then we should look to Jesus. He is the clearest word from God that we have received. And as Jesus is to his heavenly Father, so is a disciple to Jesus. And that includes every one of us here. Those who receive the disciple, welcome the disciple, really are doing that not only for their sake or for the poor schlep that needs our help. You know, it can be very nose-up reaction, right? We can sometimes feel good because, Lord, I thank you that I am not like them. No, 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 no. To receive them is we do it because we receive God in them and with them. And there's a reward attached in this text. Those who receive the prophet will receive the prophet's reward. Those who receive the apostle will receive the apostle's reward. Those who receive the righteous one will receive the reward of righteous. Those who give even a cup of cold water to the little one in the name of God will receive their reward. I began to understand what our fathers and grandfathers' generation meant when they said that it is not so important how well you say put your words, it is more important what you do. Words can be cheap. They are important. But they can also be used to deceive, to hide, to give a false impression. But your deeds speak louder than any words. What you do will come across. You ever notice that children sense if you like them or not? Little children react. Dogs do too. They know intuitively if you are an animal lover or not. Children know if they are welcome or not. They feel it. They couldn't put it into words, but your attitude, your actions, speak louder than any words they might understand. That whoever receives anyone in the name of Christ receives God. So you wanted to know what it means to live in God's presence? Well, that's it. It's very simple. You live in the presence of the people around you. He is telling his followers that they will be received and welcomed and honored and supported in their ministry. Suffering, persecution, and rejection will come, but that is not the only response. Yes, they will go to some towns and people will not welcome them, receive them, or listen to them. What is this disciple to do? Shake off the dust of the road from your feet, he says. Leave that place. They will have their own rewards. The words may seem harsh, but they are meant for encouragement for Christians. God gives us the power to witness to his love. God gives us the support to live out our faith in daily life. God promises us every blessing as we are faithful and act in his Spirit. Today's gospel is in continuation of last week's gospel text for the Sunday in the lectionary, where Jesus told his followers, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul." What he is saying is, do not worry too much about what others think or what they say about us. Remember the story of the grandfather and the son with the donkey? If you ever always listen and react to what people want, you end up carrying massive burdens, the donkey on your back. We should care more about what God thinks of us than what other humans think. And I promise you, if you do, you'll find it very liberating. You will strip away that fear that always says, what will people say? What will the neighbors say? What will the church think? No, you will be free to ask, what is God's will? And then do it. And we should live out our life being kind, welcoming, encouraging of others. We do not like to be criticized, and others do not like it either. As Martin Luther wrote, and you may remember the old catechisms where you had questions and answers, right? I mean, those of you who are old enough, my age and older, we learned that as kids, you know, faith instruction meant you memorized basically the catechism. And you had questions, and then you had explanations. And I always loved the Lutheran catechism, because Luther wrote some very good answers to those questions. when he explained about the commandments, one of the questions is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And here is what he wrote to explain that to people who want to understand what that means. We are to fear and love God so that we do not betray, slander, or lie about our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain his actions in the kindest way. Not bearing false witness is more than not lying. Much more, according to this interpretation. Speak well of them and explain to other people's actions in the kindest way possible. Now, I know you're practicing this, right? Let's make a commitment to be even more deliberate in practicing it. You know, the old teacher in me, he always wants to give homework to the students. It's your homework. You're going to go home and you're going to practice it with your spouse and your children and your grandchildren and your parents and that nasty aunt and uncle that you might have hidden somewhere in your family, and the neighbors whom you can't stand, your colleagues at work, the neighbor at the cottage, and most of all, that other driver on the road that can drive you bonkers. You're going to practice this to defend them, speak well of them, and explain their actions in the kindest way you can think of. And see if it will not change us. But most of all, I like to encourage you as a church to practice that amongst you. It's so easy to make disparaging comments. But it's so hard to really build somebody up? No, it is not. All you have to do is live with the encouragement that God gives us through His Spirit. I said before, Christians need to be critical people. People who make decisions. I want you to examine yourself. Be critical with yourself. Your motivations, your anger, your disappointments, and your hurts, your pain. Because we all have vast amounts of all of them. Be honest with yourself. And then try to be kind, not only to the others, but to yourself too. And accept that God loves you and He forgives you. And be encouraged in your faith and in your witness. God is with you. And Christ is promising you a great, great reward for His faithfulness. Support others in their ministry and you will be encouraged. Encourage them in their service. Welcome them and receive them as if you receive Christ Himself. Pray for them. Instead of being critical of them, put the best construction of what they say or do. Encourage others in their faith and witness, and great will be your reward in heaven. Amen.
In response, would you please open your hymnals to number 352.
Now, if you would please rise for the benediction and remain standing for the closing song. Go now to serve Christ and follow him. Let your whole life be like a grain of wheat into the earth, so that you may bear much fruit as you allow God to reshape your heart and live in obedience to the law written within you. And may God center you in truth and steady your spirit. May Christ renew your joy and strengthen your will. And may the Spirit teach you God's hidden wisdom and fill you with songs of rejoicing. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Our closing song is number 76.